Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, on this day, we remember the tragedy that occurred on September 11, 2001. We see before our very eyes the thousands of innocent people who went to work on a Tuesday morning and never returned. We remember the soldiers who have lost their lives since that day, and the peoples of other countries who have died in war. We ask you, O Lord, to be present with us as we mourn. Help us to move together into a future filled with hope. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
From the book of Exodus. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all their possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him his debt. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused, and he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in his anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I grew up during the Cold War. I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, surrounded by all the intelligentsia of Yale University, who told us in no uncertain terms that Russia would be dropping a nuclear bomb on us at some point. My family and I watched the movie The Day After. Do any of you remember that movie about nuclear war? It depicts the people who do not die when the bomb is dropped, but who suffer the residual effects. They lose all of their hair. Their bodies begin to disintegrate, while only the cockroaches seem to thrive. Living just an hour and a half outside of New York City, everyone thought that New York City would certainly be a target, so we would suffer the residual effects. My parents' way of dealing with this fear was to build a bomb shelter in our basement. Sometimes, at night, particularly if they were fighting, I would go down the steps and I would feel along those thick walls that were filled with sand until I found the light switch. I would turn it on, just a single bulb hanging in this tiny little room. And I would sit there and think. One of the questions that I always asked myself was, why would we come down here? Is it better to come down here and survive and have to live in this tiny little space? Is it really worth it? In the Old Testament reading for today, we hear this incredibly dramatic scene in which God acts on behalf of the Hebrew people. They are running from those that have enslaved them, and they come to the sea. Moses holds out his hand over the sea, and God sends wind, and the waters of the sea are parted. And the Hebrew people walk on dry land through the sea. And once they've reached the other side, God sends more wind, and the waters close in over the Egyptian soldiers and chariots, and all of them are drowned in the ocean. Scholars believe that perhaps the very first written piece in the Old Testament is the Song of Miriam, Moses' sister, when they reached the other side, and she sang, "I will bless the Lord, for he is lofty and uplifted. He has taken the horse and its rider and hurled them into the sea." I read a story like that, and I cannot but help to ask God why. If you're a God who can take the wind and intervene in such a way, then why didn't you blow that airplane off course as it was headed for the World Trade Center? Why didn't you just give it a shove and somehow make it land gently? Why did this have to happen? And where are you in it, God? I never thought that an airplane could become a weapon. I don't know about you, but when I watched that airplane hit the World Trade Center, I thought that it was an accident, that the pilot had lost control. Didn't you? I couldn't imagine that someone would take an airplane full of human life and use it as a weapon. I couldn't imagine that someone could even think like that. And then later on, I would find out that while they were doing these acts of extreme violence, they were crying out God's name. When a tragedy of this magnitude occurs to a human being, we react by withdrawing inside of ourselves. When a young woman is raped and beaten, she withdraws inside of herself. And often there is much self-hatred in there. When a child is molested or abused, the same thing. When there is a tragic accident, the same thing. It is as if we crawl down into the basement, into the bomb shelter of our hearts, into this tiny little space where we cannot fully live, but at least it's safe in there. At least it's safe in there, and we're no longer afraid. You may say that we don't need to make such a big deal of this 10th anniversary of 9/11. You may say that it's been 10 years and we've gotten over it. We're moving on. But I don't think we really have gotten over it. I don't know if you get over something like that. And I know that we have not yet moved on. And the reason that I know is this. Do you remember on the 11th and on the few days following that event, how Americans were all united? Do you remember that? Nobody cared which political party they were from. People streamed out of their apartments in New York City and they helped one another. And they cared for one another as human beings. But then when the chaos died down and the immensity of the tragedy sank in, we withdrew into ourselves and we began bickering with one another. In the Episcopal Church and in the Roman Catholic Church and in the Orthodox Church, we have something that we live by. It's called the lectionary. What this means is that the scripture is assigned to us every Sunday. We don't choose what pieces of the Bible to preach on. And in the course of 3 years, we read the entire Bible. Today's gospel was not selected by me. It was chosen for us. And in it, Peter asks Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? And Jesus says, "Not 7 times. 77 times. Over and over and over again. Does that mean that God is telling us to forgive the terrorists? To forgive the 19 individuals and their leaders who hijacked those airplanes? I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do that. I think of all the children who have no father, the spouses who lost one another. I don't know how to do that. Or even if that's the right thing to do. The word in the ancient Greek for forgiveness is called aphiēni. I want to tell you what it is not. Aphiēni does not mean saying that it's okay. Aphiēni does not mean that you have to like the person who hurt you. Afiemi does not mean that everything will go back to normal. Afiemi does not mean that everything will be the same ever again. The meaning for the word that Jesus used is very simple and straightforward. It is this: release from bondage. Release from bondage. In other words, when you and I are hurt, we retreat inside of ourselves, we imprison ourselves. Afiemi means to be released from that bondage, to step out of that bomb shelter that we have created for ourselves, that place of fear, and to move into life again, fullness of life. In order to move out into the light, you must know this, that God was there. God was there. God was in the airplanes. God was in the towers. God was in the firefighters rushing in and in the hands of the chaplains who held people. Perhaps most importantly, God was in the rubble and the dust, crying with us. When I had just finished college, I worked for a year at Yale New Haven Hospital in the emergency room. One day I was called to the burn unit. A Russian soldier had been flown all the way from Russia to Yale New Haven Hospital because he was such a unique case. I was the only one that they knew that could speak broken Russian. So they called me in to translate. The room was very dark. The young man called me closer, and I could see that his skin was incredibly swollen and red. He had no hair, and his eyes were almost completely swollen shut. "I'm sorry it's so dark," he said. The light, it hurts my skin and it hurts my eyes. I asked him about himself. When he was 17 years old, the government told him to fly a plane over a town called Chernobyl and to drop concrete onto the site. They made him wear protective gear, but his hands and his face were burned. And the malignancy spread all over his skin and into his blood, a malignancy that no one could really recognize. And his body was shutting down. "I know I'm going to die," he said. "But I really want something. I really want to drive around America. I just want to see it." After 3 days of finagling and arguing and signing papers, two nurses and I got permission to take him for a ride. We bound him up with tons of clothes and gauze and dark, dark sunglasses and a hat. And we got him into my old station wagon and we drove him around New Haven. And he kept saying the same thing over and over again. "This is it. It is so beautiful. This is it. It is so beautiful. It took courage for my Russian friend to come out of that dark room. It hurt, but he did it. I believe that 9/11 has become our cross. It is not something we get over or forget, but something we lift up. Jesus says, "Lift up your cross and follow me." I don't know exactly how forgiveness comes. I think it's really a gift from God. And you have to ask for it. But I pray for us. We have such a beautiful country with so many incredible people, inventive and creative. I long for the day when we can really talk to one another again, when we can join hands and step into the future, all of us, into the light. Amen.
Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
10 years ago, on this day, a man and a woman joined hands and jumped to the death.
Give them peace in your arms, O Lord.
10 years ago, a man stood up on a hijacked airplane, gathered his fellow passengers, and together,
give them peace in your arms, O Lord.
10 years ago, firefighters ran into the Twin Towers in an attempt to save lives and never return.
Give them peace in your arms, O Lord.
10 years ago, our nation watched as our lives were altered forever.
Give us peace in our arms, O Lord.
We ask you, bless the thousands who died on September 11th.
Give them peace in your arms, O Lord.
As Christ taught us to pray for our enemies, so we lift up all those who would do us harm.
Give us peace in your arms, O Lord.
We ask that you would bless this country and all the peoples of the world, that we may find a way to justice and peace.
Give us peace in your arms, O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to you all of those who were lost on September 11, 2001. Grant that their deaths may recall to us your victory over death and be an occasion for us to renew our trust in your Father's love. Give us, we pray, the faith to follow where you have led the way, and where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit to the ages of ages. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. We're so glad you're here at St. John's Cathedral on this special day. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew for you to fill out to let us know who you are. We also have newcomer bags by the baptismal font in the entrance of the church, along with folks who will welcome you. We're so glad you're here today. All of you are welcome to receive Holy Communion. You can just hold out your hands for the bread and guide the cup to your lips. If you are not baptized or from another faith, just cross your arms and we'll give you a blessing. We want you all to come forward. Our Sunday school classes began today, and I encourage families who want to bring their children to Sunday school that they can come at 9 and bring their Sunday school children at 10:30 to their classes. Or you can bring them to their classes and they join you at communion. For those adults who attend this service, we will have a Dean's Forum at 9 o'clock. We had a wonderful speaker today, Ann. I'm so glad you were here. She is a priest who was at Ground Zero when the tragedy occurred, and she told us her story. I'm so glad you're here today. We will have a leadership breakfast this Tuesday at 7:30. The theme is helping children at risk to survive and thrive. If you're interested in attending that, please call the church office. And there will be a peace concert today at 3 o'clock. We will have children from all over the city singing here at the cathedral. 3 o'clock, a Sister Cities concert. You're all welcome to come. And lastly, this coming Friday, a special treat at 7 o'clock, Alexei Romanenko, the first chair cellist for Jacksonville Symphony, is going to give us a cello recital for free. He's going to play all 6 cello suites of J.S. Bach here. What a treat. You're welcome to come. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
hearts.
Give it up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who rose victorious from the dead and comforts us with the blessed hope of everlasting life. For to your faithful people, O Lord, life is changed, not ended. And when our mortal body lies in death, there is prepared for us a dwelling place eternal in the heavens. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself, in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Now let us join together in the prayer which is found on the bottom of page 7 of your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that in your great love you have fed us with the spiritual food and drink of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and you've given us a foretaste of your heavenly banquet. Grant that this sacrament may be to us a comfort in affliction and a pledge of our inheritance in that kingdom where there is no death, neither sorrow nor crying, but the fullness of joy with all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.